Sit back and relax.
Drink
your not tea. Oh, I need to introduce this. I'm really bad at that.
Okay.
We need to stop laughing for long enough for me to introduce this. So today I'm in Tetbury with Claire Nelson, who used to live in Wellington when I lived in Wellington, and who I haven't seen for more than 10 years, and it's lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you.
Thank you. And I have tea, and Claire has Ribena, which is very sensible. So I could ask you my first question about tea, couldn't I? So do you ever drink tea?
No, I don't like tea. But I do have a coffee first thing in the morning, and then that's it. I don't really do hot drinks. So I'm on a hot Ribena this afternoon.
Where did we first meet?
Okay, so that's a really lovely story. It was 11 years ago. I got married, and you were the one that married me and my husband. It was a good day. Well, you see, I've lived in Wellington for all my life, and I always wanted to get married in the parish church, but I hadn't connected with anybody at the parish church, and I went to a different church that wasn't registered, so I didn't want to get married there. I didn't want to get married in a registry office, and then I met you three churches together, and it was completely a God moment for me, even if it wasn't for you, that I got to have what I didn't realise was in my heart for my wedding day, to be in a big church, but have it in the style that I would have it with. One of our biggest challenges was Dave wasn't allowed to lead worship that day. But we had good friends, of course, that were able to do that and have it in the style that we wanted, but in the building that I love.
Tell me a little bit about your church here and how it works.
Okay, so it's called Five Valleys Christian Fellowship, and it is around the Five Valleys area, although Tetbury isn't in the geographical Five Valleys, because God has prompted the elders to actually think wider than the Five Valleys. That's just the name that it has right now. But really, it's a community of people who love Jesus, and we get together in different places in different communities every Sunday. We focus on getting together midweek, and some toddler groups as well, and it's very relaxed. It's quite contemporary. Sometimes we meet on a Sunday, and we've got one person who might be bringing some music, and then we all get together and bring something and see what happens. We see what God's saying at the time, so it's quite a different flavour. But we love it. My 3.5-year-old loves church, and for me that's a really big bonus to have my child enjoying things. And he's also taught to pray and to be part of the family too, so in his giftings and the things that he's good at, so I love that about it. And people can get as involved or not as they want to.
So how big is your community? How many people roughly, or is that not possible to say?
It's really interesting, because if you took in like the men's curry groups and the women's craft groups and the things like that, like how would you survey the church in a way? There, you know, we've kind of talked about, with the words we use, we talk about family being the people who are committed and believe in Jesus, and we talk about church or friends are people maybe who come but aren't connected, and at what point do people turn from friends into family? So it's quite an organic process. We don't have a formal you're in, you're out. It is like a actual family. So, you know, you might not see cousins for a long time, but actually then they're around again. But I would say there's a core of about 30 to 50 regularly. We used to go away on a camp together, and that would be between 60 and 80 of us. But the last 2 years, instead of running our own, we've gone to the Soul Survivor have now done a family camp. So last year we went there for the first time. Less of us went because of just dynamics of camping and different things. But we really enjoyed that, so we're going to do that again this year, which is called Naturally Supernatural.
I think it's really interesting that you've got very loose boundaries, because sometimes independent churches have very strict boundaries of who's in and who's out. Yeah. But obviously you've moved away from that.
We probably know in our hearts where people are at, but we don't talk about it in the commonplace, because actually we love everybody and it doesn't matter where you're at, in a way. You know, we would love people to accept Jesus for themselves as we do, but actually that's a choice that they have to make, and we love to walk along the journey with them, whatever that looks like. Sometimes it's challenging, isn't it? Because in a way we grieve because we love them to get, you know, to know Jesus the way that we do. But also I know that I have been in churches before where it has been really rigid, and I've struggled as a Christian and felt uneasy. And I think that's probably really challenged us in how we think about it, me and Dave, and how we want to people to feel safe, but not pushed into anything without choice.
Do you have a minister as such?
No, so we have three elders, and they basically oversee. They would be spiritual insight. So if there's somebody who would like to do something, an activity, they would just talk to one of them or their wives. We're very involved. So my husband is an elder, and most things happen. Like, one of our friends wanted to do an Alpha course 2 years ago, and that was a big thing for our church to take on, that the running of and the commitment for that. So we did a meal, and we had that had probably all of the church involved in different ways, either cooking or one of the ladies, every week somebody gave a testimony, which was really lovely to hear people from our own family sharing their story. And that was probably, there were probably about 80 people each week, and some of them have come through into being in relationship with us, and others haven't. But then sometimes we'll have a curry night and people will come that we haven't seen before, so the door's always open. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
So I guess that all ties in quite nicely with the kind of statement that I'm exploring about, is Christianity in the UK not dying but sleeping? I don't know. What would you say to that?
I mean, it's a really interesting one, because that statement, you know, in my spirit, inside of me, I go, oh, no, it's how I read it. The church is sleeping or is asleep. And I was like, I disagree. I don't agree with that. But then I was thinking, well, what's the word church? That's what challenged me in that statement. The church is asleep or dying. And
it's really interesting, because the statement actually is Christianity.
Okay.
But lots of people interpret it as church. So that's, it brings that kind of interesting twist into it, doesn't it?
So I would still agree that Christianity is no way dying, and no way, maybe it could be sleeping, but I feel like I have to explain myself a bit, that actually I feel like it's like a personal responsibility for each person. So actually, if I change Christianity for the word life, actually, if I have life in me, then there's nothing dying, there's nothing sleeping, but I have a choice to feed myself in God. And I feel like if I have life, I would give that to other people in just who I am and how I am. And if I'm not feeding myself, I don't have a lot to give away. I completely disagree that Christianity is dying or sleeping, but that doesn't mean that maybe people aren't active in their faith, because that's got what I believe God calls us to be, you know, faith and actions.
I mean, it's really interesting for me, and that's one of the really pertinent things about why I wanted to go around and talk to people about this, is kind of the evidence from our own church community is really contradictory, because for about 5 years now, almost nothing I can do will encourage people to come to church on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But the rest of the week,
yeah,
they're coming, and for for our two big church communities, this last year our numbers have shown that our Sunday morning activities are really not the main thing that we do at all. And yet people are having a lot of trouble getting their head around that in a more traditional church model.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
About who, what is about. And we have somebody who works in our team who really believes that you should really focus on Sundays.
Okay.
And he mainly is involved in one particular area of what we do. And he does that really well. So I've kind of, as a leader, thinking, well, that can be the focus and that's fine. But he has a theological thing about people gathering on a Sunday, whereas actually I'm much more flexible and think, actually, although Sunday was a very special day for people in the New Testament, also it was a very difficult day for people to meet. And I wonder if we're getting sometimes into that situation again.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Dave, my husband, is someone who really loves Sundays. Mm. And our church is... the elders are kind of saying we need to focus less on a Sunday and more on other things, just capacity. Like, we need to grow capacity in what we're doing, and that means growing leaders, that means nurturing, and that takes time. And actually, I think as a church we do quite a lot, and it's kind of trying to reduce mentally what could we reduce so that we could do well in things. And he's really passionate about Sundays, and to be fair, nobody wants to put the Sunday down, but then to not put any input or effort into it frustrates my husband, because it's like, well, if we're not going to drop it, then why aren't we doing something well with it? But I would say a lot of my interaction, definitely with non-Christians, is outside of that, is with my little boy. It's having tea and coffee and the boys playing. And I've had many a conversation with different mums individually or in groups where they've said, what do you think about this? You go to church. I mean, I go to church, but for me, the church is, the word church means I'm in community all the time with different people. It doesn't mean I do something on a Sunday. And one of the biggest things that I've probably done since having Jonathan is I started a Facebook group with four friends who, when you just had a new baby, we went to a postnatal group for 6 weeks at the library. And then thereafter, I prayed about it and I said, God, how do we move on from talking really intimately in these groups and then going home and feeling so lonely at home with a baby? I'm a really social person, and Jonathan slept a lot, so it wasn't all beautiful, but I had a lot of alone time. And I found that really difficult working from someone who had a house, was doing youth work, and it was an open house, to this really quiet place with a little baby. And I prayed about it, and I know God said to me, you need to go past that and get a phone number. Like, you have to find a way to break through into a deeper relationship. So I did that with a few people, and you know, once you break through and say, do you want to come to my house, do you want to hook up in a different way other than the Monday group or the Wednesday afternoon session at the library, and that really helped me to not feel so isolated. I had my church friends, but you know, Monday to Saturday is a long time before you get around to a Sunday again. And so I started a Facebook group which has now got 38 people in. And it's really just a group to for whatever. You know, I am going insane and I'm going to the park this afternoon if anyone wants to join me. We ended up going out for Christmas, and there were 27 of us that went out for a Christmas meal. And, you know, we got to socialise, because actually at that point some of us weren't working. You didn't have a work Christmas meal. You didn't have any of those things that were in your diary or in your life before. So it can be quite isolating. So that's been, I've seen that as a really good God journey, but didn't realise that that was a God journey, really. That I know that I'm there to bring some of the things that we do in church and some of the things that we've learned in church into the things that are just in my life. So that's been really exciting. And from that, I've had conversations with people that then I have been able to say, oh, actually, I'm going to church, so every time church is in Tetbury, I put it on my Facebook page. And actually, sometimes a couple of mums come because they know, oh, it won't be so intense because Jonathan's there, so it will be a bit child-friendly. You know, it puts some people off saying, I don't know what it's going to be like. I can't tell you we're going to sing five songs and then we're going to sit down and listen to the word for 40 minutes. Because actually, depending on who's bringing that morning, depends on what it looks like. So for some people, that's really great. For other people, that's quite intense.
Tell me a bit about Little Giants.
Okay, so Little Giants is basically for any child who is primary school or under. At the moment, we are focusing on preschool, and the idea is the name was God-given, and it's for little people who are giants in God. So it's about equipping and enabling any age child to come to know Jesus and to understand what their gifts are and to understand the Holy Spirit and to work just as if any one of us. And I have to say that excites me for my own son. It's something that brings me joy when somebody's hurt and his automatic response is, can we pray for them? You know, that that's just amazing that I wasn't like that at his age. And I believe that that's part of my role as a parent to give him that while he's young, but also to allow him to make choices as he grows up to what he does choose to believe himself. Because that's a really, that's a difficult one as a parent. But I want him to know what the truth is, and then let him decide what he thinks. But Little Giants is, so we run toddler groups. We literally pop up in a community, and we do everything on advertising through Facebook. So if they have been before, so we did a big drop of flyers the first week we ever went. And we are overtly Christian, so we have activities, we have crafts linked to the story, and then we have a really healthy snack. Then just before the end, half an hour before the end, we bring together some musical instruments and some songs, which are all Christian songs. And then we have a story which is told from a suitcase. So they all come down to the carpet and a suitcase is opened and a story, either figures or people come out of the story, and we learn about different characters in the Bible or different themes. It could be loving one another, it could be sharing. So, and then the craft is related to that, and then we pray. So we pray in different ways. Sometimes we all stand up and one of us will blow bubbles, and that will just be a blessing, and that's something that they just enjoy. Sometimes they'll thread a bead and they'll ask God for something, or they'll thank God for something. And sometimes we've had amazing moments where we've been sat together and a parent has said, can I thread a bead? And we're like, of course you can. And she said, my friend is in hospital and she's having a baby and it's really early, like, can you pray? And we have a beautiful opportunity to sit and pray with somebody we don't really know, and bring God into that and ask God to be part of that situation. So to start with, it could be really busy, and I think maybe it put some people off because of our viewpoint. But God had told us the whole way through not to be just a toddler group where you meet in a church and you provide a safe place. And every time we prayed about it, he confirmed that this was what we were to do. So we don't feel like we want to change the message, because the message is simple, and we want to share with the children, which is lovely because the parents get to hear it too. And you know, we've done a bit of kind of training and learning that actually children believe everything that you say till a certain point. And I think it's a really key age to be sowing seeds into young people's lives.
Do you get the impression that some of the parents and carers who are coming with the toddlers don't know the stories?
Yes, without a doubt. If they didn't go to a school where they had opened the book, for example, or something like that, or assemblies or stories, I mean, I worked in a school when I was back in Wellington, and I was a teaching assistant, and the teacher knew that I went to church, and she actually asked me to do the RE because she didn't feel like she could, because she didn't believe it. And that was an amazing opportunity for me to bring life to something I truly believed in. And I think it's hard for, you know, schools or other places to bring things if it's not necessarily what they believe. But I have seen a generation of children not coming up with the stories, not knowing the stories. You know, my dad isn't a Christian, but went to Sunday school because that's what you did on a Sunday. That's what your mum kind of sent you. So he would recount stories. Yeah, you know, I know other friends who are parents, who it's completely new. But interestingly, some people who have come into church have come once they've had children, and they've said, I want my children to understand it. So they've come for their children's sake. So actually there is a cycle of something, that they went to school, or their parents did tell them something, and it's almost intrigued them to come back. But there is a whole generation of adults who, I don't believe have heard the foundational stories from the Bible. So we're not then teaching their children.
What is your favourite thing beginning with T?
Okay, so I'd have to say my T4 camper van. We converted it 2 years ago. So we went to the big church day out weekend, and it was a white van, and it had a mattress in the bottom, and that was it. And I had a little boy with me as well, and we all slept there, and it was great. And now it's bright yellow. It's got a pop-top roof, and we're going to France in it this year after the Naturally Supernatural. So, yeah, that's a joy for me. On a rainy day, it's still bright and sunny, and it's about me and my family making memories. And we've dreamt about having a camper van for a long time, but I think having a son and thinking, do you know what? Let's actually action some of these things. I mean, life can be difficult. You know, money is tight and it's all our savings. But actually, I think it's really important that you do things in life that make memories that are really positive. It's a gift, I think, for us to make us make time to go and do things together as a family, which we really value.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.